Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, Sean Defoe, our political correspondent here at News Talk, is with me in studio today for this week's Ask Me Anything. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
You might tell listeners how you became a political reporter.
Oh, kind of stumbled into it by chance, really, more than anything else. It's actually 10 years since I came to News Talk, since I got my first News Talk job. I was only figuring it out the other day, and it's about 8 years since I became Polcor. So I came in here as a reporter and newsreader in the newsroom when the two of us were there back at the time, and you were my boss, which still feels weird to say.
It's a wonder you stuck around.
Yeah. Anyway. Thankfully, you moved on to better and bigger pretty quickly. And look, always had an interest in politics, and then just lucky enough for me, the job came up and here we are years later.
Like, the thing about it is, and for a lot of our regular listeners will know, you know, you've covered some of the biggest, most important political events here at home and worldwide. What's the hardest part of the job?
The hardest part is figuring out what's actually going on, because everyone's lying to you all the time.
Really?
Everyone has an agenda or a point of view. And if you ring somebody in Fine Gael, they'll tell you the sky is blue. And if you ring someone in Fianna Fáil, they might tell you it's green. And if you ring someone in Sinn Féin, they might tell you it's red. So you kind of have to figure out and read between the lines a lot. That's probably the most difficult thing.
Of all of, I suppose, the different elements of news, it's long hours. Yeah. You know, it's kind of a 24/7 job, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it's important to, I think, be able to switch off as well, like over the last few weeks, just be able to. And I thought I was switching off, and then my wife pointed out to me that I was reading the book, the Charlie versus Garrett book, in my meantime. So maybe you never really do, but it is. Yeah. Look, it's full on. It has to be. You have to be across kind of everything that's going on. But and that's why I think you have to have a bit of a love for it, you know?
Yeah. And so you've witnessed some great rows in the Dáil as well.
The Dáil has been great, and especially the last couple of years, they're just getting more and more cranky.
Much more of a ding dong.
Hey, look, it's great fun, and I suppose when you work in radio as well, you're listening going, great, that's my clip for the next hour for the news sorted, or there's my 2 minutes into the hard shoulder.
Well, a lot of the Lunchtime Live listeners are very interested in what you do and how you get your political stories, so I know there's loads of voice notes coming in, but if you have a question for Sean Defoe, send it in to us, 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. You can send in your text or your voice note there. Ben has sent in this question.
What's the most exciting political story you've ever covered?
Oh, that's a good one. What's the most exciting political story? I think elections are probably the most exciting. Yeah. Like general elections in particular. And
They're all-Ireland final day for
my
journalists, basically.
Christmas meets all-Ireland final meets your birthday, all in one. Like, they're just great crack, and they're so intense. Like, we obviously just did one towards the end of,
we've had three in the last 2 years between locals and...
every possible election in the last 18 months. We've had by-elections, we've had referendums, we've had presidential, European, local and Dáil all in the last 18 months, which means we were spoiled rotten and now we have to wait ages for them. But yeah, I think particularly around here, because we have like this election hub that gets set up down in the newsroom, and we have reporters in every constituency, and everyone is, it's like something you'd see in a movie almost. Mm. People are shouting, Sligo Leitrim's about to have a count, someone's going to be elected here. Like, it's just great crack.
So that's your favourite, that's your stance.
I think so. Yeah. Like, for most exciting story, I think it's just hard to beat the excitement. Obviously, there have been huge stories we covered like over the last 10 years or so. But in terms of pure just adrenaline excitement, it's hard to beat an election.
Dylan has sent in this query.
Where is the most exciting place you've travelled for work?
Oh, that's a good one. Probably the White House. People ask me this
a lot. How many times have you been there?
How many times have I been there? 4 or 5, maybe? I've been there for Joe Biden and Trump. They're the only ones that I've been there for. But I've been in the Trump White House, I think, 3 times. And then once, I was there in Washington in the White House once with Joe Biden. And then I was there the time that Micheál Martin got COVID. And we didn't get to go into the White House at all.
Yeah.
And he was literally camped
Wasn't
across
the
street.
Paddy's Day trip?
The Paddy's Day trip, yeah. So I've been, I think, 4 or 5 times. And it's just hard to, like, every single time you go, you think you're in the West Wing, or, you know, you're in, it's just one of those pinch me moments where you're on the front lawn and you take the selfie with the podium in the press room, you know. And obviously the kind of tone of it has changed in the last few years in particular, like even to when I was there last March and this March, the tone is going to be really, really different because of what Donald Trump is doing in the White House. But in terms of like the place that has the most history, and you still, because it's very easy to get kind of cynical in this job, we're around Leinster House a lot, you're in government buildings and places that a lot of people don't get to go, or maybe go on a school tour. Like, it's always funny, I'm walking down to get my lunch in Leinster House and the school tour is going in and they'll be talking about that for ages.
Every school should be brought to Leinster House.
Oh,
I am such a believer. Every school should be brought to a district court and they should be brought to Leinster House.
Yeah.
Do you know, because that is where decisions are made. It's where people don't want to end up before the judge and they should be brought there.
And maybe you don't want to end up as a politician.
Yeah, maybe not. Sarah has this question for you, Sean.
Hi, Sean. What is the most exciting thing you've seen in Leinster House?
In Leinster House. Right, so I've got a serious one and not a serious one. So if you're talking about exciting days in Leinster House, it's the big state occasion. So the one that came to mind straight away was when Vladimir Zelensky was here a couple of months ago in December. And that's still really impressive to see and to be up close and see the strain that he was under at the time with everything that was going on in a deal with Russia and all those talks that are still there. And the pomp and ceremony that are around it, I mean, that's like really cool. The other bit is actually just really mundane. It's walking around Leinster House and seeing the likes of Eamon Ryan having a turkey and ham dinner. You know what I mean? It's just these figures that are in the news that you've kind of maybe grown up seeing and they're just doing really ordinary stuff, maybe stuffing their face or having a pint or a glass of wine in the Dáil bar. I still find that really, it still tickles me.
Yeah. Stephen has this question.
Hi, Sean. How has social media changed political reporting?
Oh, that's a good one. Quite a lot. And there's this real debate going on in political reporting at the minute because when social media started and Twitter in particular started, we kind of gave everything away for free. And this became a bit of a problem more so for newspapers in that the reporters were almost competing with their own newspapers. And I know, for example, that like some of the political correspondents in newspapers were told to stop tweeting the stories before the paper has actually run them or push-noted them or gotten it out there because that's how they were making money.
Politicians could become self-broadcast, you know, they could become a broadcasting platform themselves.
Completely. And that definitely changed the game because they don't need to go through journalists or the media or TV or whatever anymore. They can go directly to people. And it's also just like there's good sides and bad size to it. In some ways it's made it more democratic. You can have more discussions for people. I think the maddest time for me was when you were connecting with the public way more than you would, because it used to be the case you go to a press conference, you might have chatted to your editor or you might have a few examples for questions yourself. But I remember during COVID when we were down in the bunker and you'd see Micheál Martin or you know whoever it was doing the speech from outside government buildings that could be lockdown, whatever, level five, all the different speeches that were there. And straight afterward, there'd be like an hour-long press conference down below. And the amount of questions from the public, that they were just able to DM you. And it was like, well, what's going to happen to my wedding? I have 200 people coming to my wedding in a week's time and now there's only 50 allowed. And it was like, it made it really personal, but it just was this really strange time where social media connected you.
I think it's a great thing, though, that level of you know, kind of engagement and the access. Like, we're very lucky here in Ireland. The access that the Irish public have to their political representatives is pretty phenomenal by comparison to other countries. If you have a question for Sean Defoe about the world of politics, 087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number. This listener is wondering, do you have an office in Leinster House?
Yes, myself and Gavin Riley share an office, actually.
From Virgin Media.
From Virgin Media, yeah, and formerly this parish. We have share one in behind the Dáil Chamber.
Another listener wondering, are any of the TDs really good friends? Do they have lunch together?
They do. There's little cliques in Leinster House, little TD.
No, we want the goss.
Yeah, this is where you're getting into the real important questions here now. Like, there used to be, do you remember back in, just before Leo Varadkar became Taoiseach and when he was kind of moving, there was the Five-A-Side Club, as it was called, and it was himself, it was, I think, John Paul Phelan was in it, Owen Murphy, and so-called because they all went and played Five-A-Side together and they would hang out and then they kind of became political allies and got Leo Varadkar in and subsequently went on to, actually, all of them leave politics now that I think about it. But there are definitely some TDs who are more friendly with others or would hang around, and not always within the same party as well, by the way.
Okay, we've this question from Kira.
Hey, Sean. I'd like to know how you think a political correspondent's job in Ireland compares to that of elsewhere. Thanks.
That's really interesting. And it goes back to what you were saying about access. We have way more access to our politicians and way more direct access. It's really changed a lot actually in the last 30, 40 years. And funny, there's a picture in the offices of, I think it's the Business Post in Leinster House, of the political gallery from the early 90s, I want to say it is, and you could fit them all in one photo. Whereas now I think the 70 plus members of the political gallery and others who are affiliated. So it's changed a lot. But look at Westminster, for example, or you look at the White House, you just do not get that kind of access. The White House correspondents in particular just can't get over how often we get to question our leaders by comparison to what they do.
And Niall has got in touch with this one.
Hi, Sean. Have you ever gotten abuse from a politician for something you reported on?
Yes, I have. More often I get abuse from the advisor to said politician who isn't happy. And yeah, it's happened quite a lot. I remember calling one particular minister a loser on the Pat Kenny show once because they'd gotten absolutely nothing in the budget. And when I say I hadn't left the studio before my phone was ringing, and it was ringing to deliver an earful into my ear. So yes, most of them, in fairness, a lot of TDs in particular, if you say something, they'll take it on the chin or how it was meant, or else, yeah, you know, they might come back at you with a little bit of a slap. But some don't. Some don't see the lighter side, I guess.
087 1400 106 is the number for your WhatsApps. This texter wants to know, do you eat your lunch with TDs?
No, I don't. I don't usually have time, if I'm being honest.
I don't eat lunch.
I don't actually eat, Andrea. This is like
my
Prince Andrew moment. Yeah. Where I don't actually sweat, Andrea. There's two restaurants. There's a restaurant where the TDs, it's called the private bar, and they can go in and escape us, and only members, only senators and TDs can go in. And then there's a canteen. And then there's the Dáil bar itself, where you can get your soup and sandwich or whatever. But no, you might meet them for a coffee, all right, but it would be rare enough. Quite a lot of the time, the Balcors eat together. We have our own little clique, I suppose.
Sure, you want to have your own little.
We're talking to them so much, you'd be sick of. If you were having your lunch with them as well, you'd be sick of listening.
Liam, is this question for you?
Hi, Sean. Who's the most interesting person you've ever met on a job?
Ooh, that's a really good. I suppose depends what you mean by met. Like probably Donald Trump, you'd have to say, if it was most interesting, like the most famous person I've ever been in a room with, anyway, or asked a question to, is Donald Trump. But oftentimes, the most interesting people are the advisors around. Like a lot of people think, oh, these advisors are idiots, or they're appointed for, you know, the political cronies or whatever. But quite a lot of the time, they're interesting people who have been appointed for a reason. And then there are like some politicians are more interesting than others. Don't think it will surprise anybody for me to say some politicians are really quite boring, whereas others are quite intelligent.
Well, on that, this listener says, who's the best politician to interact with in the Dáil? Who's a bit of crack, they want to know?
Oh, God, who's a bit of crack? To interact with in the Dáil. Oh, there's a few of them who'd have a bit of crack. I'm trying to think who would get offended by me actually airing their name. Like David Kilnana's a bit of crack from Sinn Féin, if you met him around the
Waterford.
Dáil. He's from Waterford TD. Maybe you know, Waterford man that I'm.
No, you're a Waterford
talking
man yourself,
him up.
So.
But there's always a few who are a bit of fun, yeah.
Listeners wondering, Leinster House romances or Christmas parties?
I couldn't possibly comment.
087-1400-106
That one would get me in trouble.
Right, Aisling, is this question for you?
How do you ensure you're representing all sides fairly without creating false balance when reporting?
Yeah, really difficult. And false balance is an interesting one where, we saw it with the likes of the abortion referendum, where if it is particularly one-sided, and I think there had been an interpretation, particularly in broadcast media, that if you were talking about something, you had to give it 50-50 time. That's kind of changed now, and even the broadcasting rules have changed a little bit around it. But a lot of it comes down to common sense. Look, we know the issues. You have to portray both sides, but it doesn't always mean both sides are equal when it comes down to it at the end of the day. So you just try and... You need to have a bit of common sense. And it goes back to what I was talking about earlier. People are always trying to spin you a line on something. Look at the Mercosur deal the last few days. If you were to believe the farmers, this is the worst deal in the history of the world. If you were to believe the EU, it's fantastic and we're going to be flooded with money. And the truth lies somewhere in the middle. It's just finding that middle.
Listeners wondering, has there ever been a TD that you were delighted didn't get re-elected?
Oh my God. People are really trying to get me in trouble today. No, I am lucky enough, there's no TD that I've had a really terrible relationship with. And one of the things from working in Leinster House is that as much as you mightn't agree with them, most TDs work very, very hard at the job. Most ministers actually
work. It is a bloody hard job.
It is a really hard job. And one you get no credit for. I actually don't really understand why a lot of people go into politics. You couldn't pay me enough to be a politician.
Would you ever consider it?
No. I wouldn't. And when I was younger, I thought, God, maybe would you, I wonder, and having worked there for the bones of a decade, absolutely not. I can see why people would get involved in it to try and make the change, but change is so incremental. You need to have more patience for it than I would ever have. And the abuse, particularly through social media now, is just on another level.
David, is this question?
Hi, Sean. Have you ever faced pressure to soften or spike a story, and how did you handle it?
Ah, that's a good one. Not overtly, as in no one has ever come up to me and said, you can't run that story, but always...
Which like, wouldn't matter if they did.
It wouldn't matter. You wouldn't do it. Yeah. You'd be like, no, we're not doing that at all. But there, of course, there's always, you know, people are trying to say, oh, well, you know, that might not be the full story there. Or a sheer man is only saying that because he doesn't like the minister. Or there's all. It's often more subtle than that. And that's where what I was talking about earlier, that you kind of have to weigh up all sides and find what the truth is.
Listeners wondering, are opposing party leaders friendly towards each other when the cameras are off, or do they still remain hostile outside the chamber?
No, this is one of the big things, actually. They're all very friendly.
They're all like, great pals.
They're all great pals away from it.
When you the camera's not there.
Mary Lou and Micheál Martin could be roaring the head off each other, or Piers Doherty and Simon Harrison, if they ran into each other in the corridor, it'd still be, oh, hey, how are you? You know, it isn't like America. It is much more friendly. They actually all do get on relatively well away. And they might like each other at the end of the day, but thankfully, Irish politics is still in a state where they're all collegiate away from the cameras.
Julie has this voice note.
Hi Sean, what did you study to become a political journalist?
Journalism. I did a journalism degree in DCU, and then the big benefit of that and why I picked DCU at the time was it had work placement at the end of it, which I did out in RTE on Morning Ireland. And I was sort of coming out when there was no jobs for anybody at that time of life, is when I left college, 2015. Things were starting to pick up, and very lucky had an interview here with John Keogh, still our news editor, got in. I think actually on the day that I did my interview, I thought I was coming in for half an hour, and I spent 6 hours here because they were short of personnel on the desk. It said, you may as well come down and see what things are like in the newsroom. And sure, I never left, I suppose.
You're still here 10 years later. Would you, knowing what you know now, would you do the job again?
Absolutely. In a heartbeat. Yeah. It's like,
it's a real fun occupation.
It's great fun. And it's one of those ones where it's intense, and you know, same as everybody, when you're coming up to Christmas, you're like, God, I'm looking forward to a break here now. But it's great fun. And you do, it's one of those jobs where I have to pinch myself every so often and go, you have access that so few people did. COVID really highlighted it for me, actually, when we were able, you had that little slip that I was given to the guards every day to say, yeah, you can go in and get out of your house and be into the press conferences.
And for those that haven't been, how impressive is Leinster House?
It's cool. It is. Yeah.
And there's a public gallery.
There's a public gallery that you can go in. You can actually,
I think everyone should go.
Get a tour. You can book tours in. Your TD can sign you in. And they're always doing tours around the place. And the ushers are really insightful. Yeah. They have all these great. So, for example, when you go in the main doors, the plinth outside Leinster House that people will see on the news every week, right behind that is the lobby into Leinster House. And there are these big, massive marble pillars with little scribbly bits in art. Mm. And the artist who made them actually hid the names of his family in the scribbly bits. So there's all these little fun
bits. I want to get a doll usher in here for Ask Me Anything some Friday afternoon as well. Sean Defoe, for the moment, our political correspondent. Sean, thanks a million for answering our listener questions.
Thanks, Andrea.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.